And a very happy Monday morning, everybody. Monday, January 30th, 2023. Tom Drake's Daily Cruise and Travel News Podcast, brought to you by The Snood Factory, www.thesnoodfactory.com. Tom Drake here, otherwise known as the guru of the seas.
What the hell does that mean?
Jerry's right. The hell does that mean? I have no idea, but like it's kind of improvised and it's catching on. People are sending me emails. Hello, guru. Good morning, guru. How you doing, guru? Shut up, guru. You're annoying, guru. One of my friends, close friends, Sienna, she posted on Facebook a clip of the Yoda guy from Star Wars saying, "All hell, the guru." It's catching on. I hope I can live up to the expectations of the guru, but I am certainly going to try. Anyway, I'm on board Oceana Serena, of course, for another 8 days. I leave in Miami on the 7th, and I'll be in my studios for a few months. That's going to be a lot of fun. But we're on our way to Cartagena, Colombia. We left the Panama Canal last night at 6 p.m. We turned the corner, and we've been getting our butt whooped ever since. It has been slamming and jamming, and a big swell, rocking and rolling. They canceled the show last night with the singers and dancers, and ordinarily, the comedian goes on when they can't. I said, I'm not going on either, because we have an older demographic here and they have mobility issues, and the reality is they would all try to come and see me because, you know, I have a reputation. They would all, and they, who, if someone falls and hits their heads, I would have felt bad. Plus, who wants to do a show with a bunch of people with white paper bags? Well, then again, they usually bring those when it's not rough. All right, let us get to it. And by the way, that was Jerry Stiller with the, what the hell does that mean? I referenced that clip on Friday. I'll use that clip until they sue me, which probably will be within a week, because they really monitor that stuff, even for a podcast that no one listens to. I have a Jerry Stiller story. Do you have a time? It's Monday. I was honored a few years back to be asked to entertain, that's what I do, sling jokes at Five-ish Finkel's 90th birthday party. Five-ish, Emmy Award-winning actor, Yiddish theater star, Tevye, just a super guy, the father of two close friends of mine, Ian and Elliot Finkel. And the birthday party was in the basement of the Sutton Place Synagogue in Manhattan. In Sutton Place, very nice area, you know. And I was let in. They let the goyim into the synagogue. Who knew? I went to the basement like I was supposed to go down. Like I fit in. I can't believe it. I spent, this is the way I talked the whole time. What up, dude? Look at the food. This is amazing. We got locks. We got this. We got that. So it was a nice party. And I was a little surprised, not surprised, but a little, not intimidated either, but Jerry Stiller was there. He's close friends with, we since lost Five-ish, but, and Jerry. But Jerry was there, and I'm thinking, I'm going to be entertaining Jerry Stiller. And the guy's a legend. Stiller and Mira, he was in Mad About You with Reiser. He was in Seinfeld all the time. I mean, this guy's a legend. You want to save a sitcom, go find Jerry Stiller. I'm thinking, I'm going to be, and plus, I was trying to sell a pilot back in those days, a TV pilot. What a connection this would be. Jerry Stiller, he knows everybody in the business. He thinks I'm a funny guy. I've got a pilot. Oh, one thing leads to another. Bada bing, bada boom. It's going to be done. I wouldn't be a guru. I tell you that right now. So I'm doing my show and I'm killing. I don't normally say that, but this is my audience. Older Jews in the basement of a synagogue. I was put on earth for this. And I'm knocking them dead. And I'm thinking, Jerry, he's right behind me. Five-ish, whatever reason, Five-ish and Jerry sat behind me. And I want to see and I want to look. And finally, I look over my shoulder to see if Jerry's laughing. Sound asleep. He fell asleep. He didn't see anything. He was out, knocked out, dead cold. So I put Jerry Stiller to sleep. Then I looked around. He wasn't the only one sleeping. Suddenly, I felt like I was back in Holland, America. All right, roll the music. All right, let's get to the story that I'm not sure is even a story, but we're going to get to it because I'm, you know, a good friend of mine, John. I have good friends. Another good friend, very successful businessman, a big executive vice president of a big company, and I know people. So he sent me this about the Icon of the Seas. And the Icon of the Seas is some, can I say wet dream? Some massive ship that Royal Caribbean's building. Somebody over there thinks the biggest in the world is, okay, yeah, maybe, maybe not, but 250,000 tons. This ship will be 9,000 if they want to fill it completely. You know, Royal Caribbean, anyway, they give all the children a band, a plastic band to wear that has a locator chip in it, and that way they can find these little mutants if they go missing. And if you want, you can rent a little iPhone kind of thing and track your little rugrats, or you can wait until he's lost. You go to the front desk and go, I can't find my Timmy, and they'll look it up and they'll tell you where he's hiding. I think someday the wives will give those to the husbands, because I'm tired of looking for the husband. Wear this, then I know where you are. And the husband's like, I don't want you to know where I am. I'm at a disco at 2 o'clock in the morning telling you I'm going to sleep on the pool deck. I don't want you to know, but it's going to happen. So they have, everything's so big, you have to have that in order to find your children. 250,000 tons, almost 9,000 guests, and they're bragging. This is a big thing now. Bragging is like reaching a milestone. The luxury lines, it's a milestone. Sometimes it's a monumental milestone. This, bragging. We're bragging. They have the largest water park at sea. Let's all take a step back and collectively say, who the hell cares? Or, as Jerry would say, what the hell does that mean? The largest water park at sea, 6 record-breaking slides. I don't know whose record it is. It's probably their own. They probably have a ship that has 3 slides. Now they have 6, including the tallest water slide drop at sea. Okay. And then also 2 raft slides where the whole family can get in a raft, get soaking wet, and slide off and fall into the ocean. I'm looking at a drawing of it. It doesn't look all that like there should be netting around this thing so you don't fly off it. But anyway, the largest water park at sea. Most pools of any other ship at sea. Well, of course there'd be. I mean, this thing's massive. There's nothing but, you know, people. So where are they going to go? I mean, so there's 7 different pools and 9 whirlpools. Okay. Now, this one caught my eye. The largest swim-up bar at sea. I don't know if they've ever really looked into this. It's called Swim and Tonic. I love it. They trademarked it already. Of course they did. It's the largest swim-up bar at sea. And the first ever. This is the first one I've ever had. As long as let's make it adults only, people. No one should be in that pool unless they're 21 and over, and they should monitor it. You shouldn't let anybody else in there. Although, I don't know the drinking age of Rod Kipman. They also have the first suspended pool at sea. Okay. It's in between the other pools, and you look down. It's like an infinity pool, but not really, because you'd slide right off it and land in the other pool, and you'd have a fractured back or some other stuff. And, of course, I talked about this, and people did email me and say how right I was. The guru is seldom wrong. They have something called the Ultimate Family Townhouse. It's a sprawling adventure-filled pad with 3 levels of incredible surprises, including a slide for the kids in the room. Look, as I've said before, the reason these ships are being built is so parents can take their kids on the ship and put them in the youth program and forget they ever got pregnant, forget the pain of the delivery, forget the Pampers, and just forget. And you go to the swim-up bar at sea while your kids go with the youth coordinators. That's what this ship is all about. You don't need that stuff in the middle of your room. You really don't. And there's a lot of other firsts, so they're bragging. Comes out next year. 250,000 tons. All right. Not my thing. All right. But let me tie that together. Let the guru tie it together. I need a rope and sound drop. We have a lot of people listening to this program, this podcast, and they're all grandparents. And they got to suck it up. And once a year, they take everybody on a cruise, and you can't bring them here. As I said, we don't have any youth program. We have Mahjong ages 10 to 12. Forget it. So you have to go there. And you have to go there knowing for 7 days, you're going to eat pizza and hot dogs and crap. Because there's nothing about Royal Caribbean worries much about the food. It's all about, you know, water slides and everything else. So be ready for that. I've talked about the fact that Carnival Corporation is in bed with the Chinese government. I don't necessarily like it. Not my business. I work for Princess. They're owned by Carnival. I probably shouldn't talk about it. But it doesn't make any sense to me, and it makes less sense now since last week an Air Force General named Mike Milliman, and probably now longer a 4-star general, he's probably a colonel, Mike Minahan, it was leaked. Somebody leaked a memo that he sent to his officers that he commands. He commands this big air mobility command with 50,000 people in it. And as a side note, our nephew, my wife and I, our nephew is in the Air Force and just being shipped overseas. And you know, when he joined the Air Force after ROTC and college and everything else, you know, it was a peacetime America. According to General Mike Minahan, within 2 years, by 2025, we'll be at war with China over Taiwan. This is not a political podcast, and I'm not even going to go there. We know it's because they make all the chips in Taiwan, and the chips to us are as important as oil. So we're going to protect Taiwan, plus we promised we would. That means nothing. That promise means zero if it's not politically correct or we don't think we can pull it off. But this guy leaked a memo telling everybody, get your ass in gear. Get ready, because we'll be at war, and it'll be an airborne war, without a doubt. It's going to be a lot of drones and a lot of other stuff. So if I'm running Carnival Corporation, I'm reading and I'm looking at this, and they're all denying it. The Defense Department is denying it, but you know that he's right. It's inevitable. You know, this is not any kind of a comment about the Chinese people. They're nice people, but their government sucks, and they infiltrate our government, and they steal our designs, and they steal everything, and they mistreat their people in China terribly. There's a lot of slavery and imprisonment, and I talked about the lady that was deported because she complained about China. Why in the hell would Carnival Corporation be doing anything with the Chinese government? Because the cruise line they've created is, it's this Chinese government. It's the China State Shipbuilding Company, and yet they're going ahead. In fact, and this is the reason, it's coming full circle. This is the guru full circle. On Friday, they were given an award. The new cruise line, which is called CSSC Cruises, was given an award from the Shanghai Municipal Commission of Economy and Information Technology. The Chinese government gave themselves an award, and they put this as a press release. Stop reminding us that you're doing business with China. Everybody does business with China, but honestly, I don't know what the basketball players are going to do. If we end up at war with China, who are they going to back? These bums at the NBA are probably back China. Too political, guru. Move on. Anyway, we'll see how it goes. In the meantime, though, they won a bunch of awards, and that's how I get into that mess, and they should have brought it up in the first place. And they do—they are launching this Adora whole thing. And also, if you're booked to go to China going forward, right now, Oceania's not going there. Neither is Regent, I don't think. As we go forward, it's a little sticky right now. It's a little sticky. Speaking of sticky, the U.S. Embassy in Mexico has issued a new warning to visitors of Cancun and the Mexican state of Quintana Roo, which is all in the, I think it's the Yucatan Peninsula. I could be wrong. No, that's the other side. Anyway, the reason is that they have Uber drivers in Cancun, in that area, and that upset the Mexican medallion taxi drivers. Some of my favorite people. I love in Mexico, what I love to do is get in a cab, tell the guy to drive really fast and blow the horn. And he looks at me like I'm nuts, because that's all I do is drive fast and blow the horn. He goes, "So, senor, I do that already. Oh, I'll do it some more." They're fighting. So what's happening is the medallion taxi drivers are cutting off the Uber drivers, and they're having fights in the streets. It's like a Mexican Uber standoff, or just a Mexican standoff.
You're a moron!
That's Judge Judy. Judge Judy is the richest daytime television star ever, and she's right, I'm a moron. Because it sounds very racist, but it's not. It's a Mexican standoff. When the Uber drivers are fighting with the medallion taxi drivers in the middle of the street, and you're in the back of this Uber going, I just want to go to the beach. Huh? Any chance you guys can fight later? Can you meet when there's nobody in the car? So what's the answer? The U.S. consulate said, don't get in the car with an Uber driver. So it worked. The taxi drivers, they got what they wanted. They're blocking everywhere, fighting with people. And now the Americans are told not to get into an Uber. You know what I want to tell you? Don't go to Cancun. Between the cartels and the Uber drivers, not the Uber drivers, but the cartels and the taxi drivers, who the hell needs that? I've talked about riverboats before, and I've been very clear about the fact that I wish I could entertain on one, because I won't pay for a cruise. It's just not, I'm not cut out for that. And so I was reading this story this morning on the American Queen. The American Queen is a very large paddle wheeler, and holds like 482 people. And I read an article, I think it was in Travel Weekly, a lady went on there and she was blown away. She was blown away because when she got on board, first of all, she was greeted with a glass of bubbly and a bag of popcorn. And I guess it's all inclusive there. So she didn't pay for the bubbly or the popcorn. And they had a 6-piece Dixieland band called the Steamboat Syncopators playing. They play all over the ship, and there's all kinds of entertainment on this American Queen. I was always under the impression on riverboats there was nothing going on, but because there's 482 guests, it's quite large. It's not that large. It's less than 4,000 tons, the ship, but it goes up and down the Mississippi with a paddle wheeler, and they have all kinds of things going on there. They have bands. They have a entertainment team, 4 people. They sing and they dance. They have another guy that does Mark Twain, another guy that does Ulysses S. Grant in full. He does a whole stage thing. I mean, it's really cool. Very cool. And you know, I don't say cool very often. I really don't. It's only 3,700 tons. Wow, that's small. It has 7 decks, 222 staterooms, and 436 passengers. And it looks great. So they should sponsor my show. I would wonder if they would trade, like, let me go on there so I could talk about it. I think I'm going to contact them and tell them I have thousands of people downloading it. All right, lastly, let's get to this. 14 minutes. I determined to stay under 15. We're a little long. I'm a little full of hot air today, the guru. I talk a lot about cruisehive.com. It's a blog site. I go there every day because they always have interesting stories. They seem to have the stories before anybody else. But, and they always put their slant to it, very much like the New York Post or the Daily News. They always have an angle. The way I'm trying to have an angle, I'm the angle guru. So they did a story this morning on Oceanic Cruises. Everything you need to know about Oceanic Cruises, including who owns Oceanic Cruises. And now it's kind of an eye-opener, because I happen to know about Oceanic Cruises. And the guy that wrote this is the guy that started the blog a long time ago. I can't pronounce his name, but he sounds like he's from Estonia. And he writes up everything about Oceana, and he starts with the fact that Howard Sherman has been Oceana's president since January of 2022. He's not the president anymore. Frank A. Del Rio is the president. Howard Sherman left January 1st. So you're doing an article on Oceanic Cruises and you don't even know who the hell the president is. And then he goes on to say, talking about the ships and everything else, he said the first four have undergone major renovations and each luxury ship can hold 1,200 passengers. No. Marina Riviera can hold 1,200. The other four hold 650 to 680. It depends on how it goes. And then he says that NCL Holding purchased Prestige Cruise Holdings. He got that wrong. He put international, which is true. And Prestige Cruise Holdings owns Oceana and Regent, and they purchased it, and that's true. But they purchased it for $3 billion, not $30 billion. In this article, he says that they paid $30 billion. Listen, I know Frank Del Rio, Father Del Rio, as I call him, since the son is now the president here. Father Del Rio is good about getting a lot of money out of people, but he couldn't get $30 million for Prestige Cruise Holdings. So be careful, that's all I'm saying. I'll keep using Cruise Hive, I just now need to vet them a little more. You know, they're almost as unreliable as the guru. All right, a long-winded Monday. There's a few jokes in there, a couple of anecdotes, some stories. Thanks for subscribing and thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for the notes, the messages. I got the date right for the last two times, so no one's complained about that. Have a wonderful Monday. Tomorrow I'm in Newport in Columbia, Santa Clara, Santa Mata, whatever it is. Santa something, Santa Claus, Columbia. I'll be there tomorrow. I did not see Panama City. I'll be honest with you, there was a free shuttle that I thought went to Panama City, but it went outside of the new terminal in Panama. Is hilarious. It is so reminiscent of something that would happen in New York and New Jersey. Somebody bought a bunch of acres they couldn't do anything with. And he was a politician, or he paid off the politicians, and that's where they built this terminal. It's across the Hudson River from Panama City. Think of the Manhattan, and think of Hoboken, and think of the Hudson River, right? The distance between the Panama Cruise Terminal and Panama City is across the Hudson River. So we weren't in Panama City for the last 2 days. We were in Hoboken. I swear, you could look out at the skyline of Panama City, which is magnificent, and as if you were in Hoboken looking over at New York. So I got on the bus to go to the city, and they dropped me off around the corner at a hotel where I then had to get a cab into the city. And just think about the trip from Hoboken into Manhattan. There isn't a path tunnel to take, and I said the hell with it, and I came back. So I will tell you this, Panama City has very tall buildings, and I heard they have sidewalks, and they have stoplights, and that's all I can tell you about Panama City. All right, talk to you tomorrow.